Did I remind her of her safe words? Christ, I can't remember. The email that she sent me the first time I spanked her comes to mind. She didn't stop me then. I'm an idiot. I should have reminded her. Wait, she knows she has safe words. I remember telling her more than once. We don't have a signed contract, Anastasia, but we've discussed limits, and I want to reiterate we have safe words, okay? She blinks a couple times but remains mute. What are they? I demand. She hesitates. What are the safe words, Anastasia?
Yellow.
And?
Red.
Remember those. She raises an eyebrow in obvious scorn and is about to say something. Don't start with your smart mouth in here, Miss Steele, or I will fuck it with you on your knees. Do you understand? How can I trust you? Ever? If she can't be honest with me, what hope do we have? She can't tell me what she thinks I want to hear. What kind of relationship is that? My spirits sink. This is the problem in dealing with someone who isn't in the lifestyle. She doesn't get it. I should never have chased her. The waiter arrives with the wine as we stare with incredulity at each other. Maybe I should have done a better job of explaining it to her. Damn it, Gray. Eliminate the negative. Yes, it's irrelevant now. I'm going to try a relationship her way, if she'll let me. The irritating prick takes too much time opening the bottle. Jesus, is he trying to entertain us? Or is it just Anna he wants to impress? He finally pops the cork and pours a taste for me. I take a quick sip. It needs to breathe, but it's passable. That's fine. Now go, please. He fills our glasses and leaves. Anna and I haven't taken our eyes off each other, each trying to discern what the other is thinking. She's the first to look away, and she takes a sip of wine, closing her eyes as if seeking inspiration. When she opens them, I see her despair.
I'm sorry,
she whispers.
Sorry for what?
Hell. Is she done with me? Is there no hope?
Not using the safe word,
she says. Oh, thank God. I thought it was over. We might have avoided all this suffering, I mutter in response, and also in an attempt to hide my relief.
You look fine.
There's a tremor in her voice. Appearances can be deceptive. I'm not fine. I feel like the sun has set and not risen for 5 days, Anna. I'm in perpetual night here. Her gasp is just audible. How did she think I'd feel? She left me when I'd almost begged her to stay. You said you'd never leave, yet the going gets tough and you're out the door.
When did I say I'd never leave?
In your sleep. Before we went soaring. It was the most comforting thing I'd heard in so long, Anastasia. It made me relax. She inhales sharply. Her open and honest compassion is written all over her lovely face as she reaches for her wine. This is my chance. Ask her, Gray. Ask her the one question I haven't allowed myself to think about because I know I'll dread her answer, whatever it is. But I'm curious. I need to know. You said you loved me, I whisper, almost choking on the words. She can't feel that way about me still, can she? Is that now in the past tense?
No, Christian, it's not,
she says, as if in the confessional again. I'm unprepared for the relief that rushes through me, but it's relief mixed with fear. It's a confounding combination because I know she shouldn't love a monster. Good, I mumble, confused. I want to stop thinking about that right now. And with impeccable timing, the waiter returns with our meal. Eat, I demand. The woman needs feeding. She examines the contents of her plate with distaste. So help me God, Anastasia, if you don't eat, I will take you across my knee here in this restaurant, and it will have nothing to do with my sexual gratification. Eat.
Okay, I'll eat. Stow your twitching palm, please.
She's trying for humor, but I'm not laughing. She's wasting away. She picks up her cutlery with stubborn reluctance, but she takes one bite, closes her eyes, and licks her lips in satisfaction. The sight of her tongue is enough to provoke a response from my body, already in a heightened state from our kiss in the alley. Hell, not again. I stop my response in its tracks. There'll be time for that later if she says yes. She takes another bite and another, and I know she'll continue eating. I'm grateful for the diversion that our food has provided. Slicing into my steak, I take a bite. It's not bad. We continue to eat, watching each other but saying nothing. She hasn't told me to fuck off. This is good. And as I study her, I realize how much I'm enjoying just being in her company. Okay, so I'm tied up in all kinds of conflicting emotions, but she's here, she's with me, and she's eating. I'm hopeful we can make my proposition work. Her reaction to the kiss in the alley was visceral. She still wants me. I know I could have fucked her there, and she wouldn't have stopped me. She interrupts my reverie.
Do you know who's singing?
Over the restaurant sound system, a young woman with a soft, lyrical voice can be heard. I don't know who she is, but we both agree she's good. Listening to this singer reminds me that I have the iPad for Anna. I hope that she lets me give it to her, and that she likes it. In addition to the music I uploaded yesterday, I spent some time this morning adding more features. Photographs of the glider on my desk and of the two of us at her graduation ceremony, and a few apps, too. It's my apology, and I'm optimistic that the simple message I've had engraved on the back conveys my sentiment. I hope she doesn't think it's too cheesy. I just need to give it to her first. But I don't know if we'll get to that point. I suppress my sigh because she's always been difficult about accepting gifts from me.
What?
She asks. She knows I'm up to something, and not for the first time I wonder if she can read my mind. I shake my head. Eat up. Bright blue eyes regard me.
I can't manage any more. Have I eaten enough for sir?
Is she deliberately trying to goad me? I scrutinize her face, but she seems genuine, and she's eaten more than half of what was on her plate. If she hasn't eaten anything over the last few days, she's probably had enough to eat this evening.
I'm really full,
she reiterates. As if on cue, my phone vibrates in my jacket pocket, signaling a message. It will be from Taylor. He's probably close to the gallery by now. I glance at my watch. We have to go shortly. Taylor's here, and you have to be up for work in the morning. I hadn't considered that before. She's working now. She needs sleep. I may have to revise my plans and my body's expectations. The thought of deferring my desire displeases me. Anna reminds me that I need to be up for work, too. I function on a lot less sleep than you do, Anastasia. At least you've eaten something.
Aren't we going back via Charlie Tango?
No, I thought I might have a drink. Taylor will pick us up. Besides, this way I have you in the car all to myself, for a few hours at least. What can we do but talk? And I can put my proposition to her. I shift uncomfortably in my chair. Stage 3 of the campaign has not gone as smoothly as I anticipated. She's made me jealous. I've lost control. Yes. As usual, she's derailed me. But I can turn this around and close the deal in the car. Don't give up, Gray. Summoning the waiter, I ask for the check, then call Taylor. He answers on the second ring. Mr. Gray? We're at Le Picotin, Southwest 3rd Avenue. I inform him and hang up.
You're very brusque with Taylor. In fact, with most people.
I just get to the point quickly, Anastasia.
You haven't gotten to the point this evening. Nothing's changed, Christian.
Touché, Miss Steele. Tell her. Tell her now, Gray. I have a proposition for you.
This started with a proposition.
A different proposition, I clarify. She's a little skeptical, I think, but maybe she's curious, too. The waiter returns and I give him my card, but I keep my attention on Anna. Well, at least she's intrigued. Good. My heart rate accelerates. I hope she goes for this, or I really will be lost. The waiter hands me the credit card slip to sign. I enter an obscene tip and sign my name with a flourish. The waiter seems excessively grateful, and it's still irritating. My phone buzzes and I scan the text. Taylor's arrived. The waiter gives me my card back and disappears. Come, Taylor's outside. We both stand and I take her hand. I don't want to lose you, Anastasia, I murmur, and raise her hand and brush my lips against her knuckles. Her breathing accelerates. Oh, that sound. I glance at her face. Her lips are parted, cheeks pink and eyes wide. The sight fills me with hope and desire. I stifle my impulses and lead her through the restaurant and outside, where Taylor is waiting at the curb in the Q7. It occurs to me that Anna might be reluctant to talk if he's in front. I have an idea. Opening the rear door, I usher her in and walk around to the driver's side. Taylor gets out to open the door for me. Good evening, Taylor. Do you have your iPod and headphones?
Yes, sir. Never leave home without them.
Great. Use them on the way home.
Of course, sir.
What will you listen to?
Puccini, sir.
Tosca?
La Boheme.
Good choice. I smile. As ever, he surprises me. I'd always assumed his musical tastes leaned toward country and rock. Taking a deep breath, I climb into the car. I'm about to negotiate the deal of my life. I want her back. Taylor presses play on the car's sound system and the stirring notes from Rachmaninoff swell quietly in the background. He regards me for a second in the mirror and pulls out into the light evening traffic. Anastasia is watching me when I turn to face her. As I was saying, Anastasia, I have a proposition for you. She looks anxiously at Taylor, as I knew she would. Taylor can't hear you.
What?
She looks perplexed. Taylor. I call. Taylor doesn't respond. I call him again, then lean over and tap his shoulder. He removes an earbud.
Yes, sir?
Thank you, Taylor. It's okay, resume your listening.
Sir.
Happy now? He's listening to his iPod. Puccini. Forget he's here. I do.
Did you deliberately ask him to do that?
Yes. She blinks in surprise.
Okay. Your proposition?
She says, hesitant and apprehensive. I'm nervous too, baby. Here goes. Don't blow this, Gray. How to begin? I take a deep breath. Let me ask you something first. Do you want a regular vanilla relationship with no kinky fuckery at all?
Kinky fuckery?
She squeaks in disbelief. Kinky fuckery.
I can't believe you said that.
She looks anxiously at Taylor again. Well, I did. Answer me.
I like your kinky fuckery,
she whispers. Oh, baby, so do I. I'm relieved. Step one. Okay. Keep cool, Gray. That's what I thought. So what don't you like? She's silent for a moment, and I know she's scrutinizing me in the light and shadows of the intermittent street lamps.
The threat of cruel and unusual punishment, she says.
What does that mean?
Well, you have all those...
She stops, glancing at Taylor once more, and her voice lowers.
Things in your playroom, the canes and whips, and they frighten the living daylights out of me. I don't want you to use them on me.
This I have worked out for myself. Okay, so no whips or canes, or belts, for that matter. I add, unable to keep the irony out of my voice.
Are you attempting to redefine the hard limits?
She asks. Not as such. I'm just trying to understand you, get a clearer picture of what you do and don't like.
Fundamentally, Christian, it's your joy in inflicting pain that's difficult for me to handle. And the idea that you'll do it because I have crossed some arbitrary line.
Hell, she knows me. She has seen the monster. I'm not going there or I will blow this deal. I ignore her first comment and concentrate on her second point. But it's not arbitrary. The rules are written down.
I don't want a set of rules.
None at all? Fuck. She might touch me. How can I protect myself from that? And suppose she does something stupid that puts herself at risk.
No rules,
she states, shaking her head for emphasis. Okay, $1 million question. But you don't mind if I spank you?
Spank me with what?
This. I hold up my hand. She shifts in her seat and a silent, sweet joy unfurls deep in my gut. Oh, baby, I love it when you squirm.
No, not really, especially with those silver balls.
My cock stirs at the thought. Damn. I cross my legs. Yes, that was fun.
More than fun,
she adds. So you can deal with some pain. I can't keep the hope out of my voice.
Yes, I suppose.
She shrugs. Okay, so we may be able to structure a relationship around this. Deep breath, Gray. Give her the terms. Anastasia, I want to start again. Do the vanilla thing, and then maybe once you trust me more, and I trust you to be honest and to communicate with me, we could move on and do some of the things that I like to do. That's it. Fuck. My heart rate escalates. Blood thrums through my body, pounding past my eardrums as I wait for her reaction. My well-being hangs in the balance. And she says, nothing. She stares at me as we pass under a street light, and I see her clearly. She's assessing me, her eyes still impossibly large in her beautiful, thinner, sadder face. Oh, Anna.
But what about punishments?
She says finally. I close my eyes. It's not a no. No punishments. None.
And the rules?
No rules.
None at all. But you have needs.
Her voice trails off. I need you more, Anastasia. These last few days have been hell. All my instincts tell me to let you go, tell me I don't deserve you. Those photos the boy took, I can see how he sees you. You look untroubled and beautiful. Not that you're not beautiful now. But here you sit. I see your pain. It's so hard knowing that I'm the one who has made you feel this way. It's killing me, Anna. But I'm a selfish man. I've wanted you since you fell into my office. You are exquisite, honest, warm, strong, witty, beguilingly innocent. The list is endless. I am in awe of you. I want you. And the thought of anyone else having you is like a knife twisting in my dark soul. Fuck. Flowery gray. Real flowery. I'm like a man possessed. I'm going to scare her off.
Christian, why do you think you have a dark soul?
She cries out, totally surprising me.
I would never say that. Sad, maybe. But you're a good man. I can see that. You're generous, you're kind, and you've never lied to me. And I haven't tried very hard. Last Saturday was such a shock to my system. It was my wake-up call. I realized that you'd been easy on me and that I couldn't be the person you wanted me to be. then after I left, it dawned on me that the physical pain you inflicted was not as bad as the pain of losing you. I do want to please you, but it's hard. You please me all the time.
When will she understand this? How often do I have to tell you that?
I never know what you're thinking.
She doesn't. Baby, you read me like one of your books, except I'm not the hero. I'll never be the hero.
Sometimes you're so closed off, like an island state,
she continues.
You intimidate me. That's why I keep quiet. I don't know which way your mood is going to go. It swings from north to south and back again in a nanosecond. It's confusing, and you won't let me touch you, and I want so much to show you how much I love you.
Anxiety bursts in my chest and my heart starts hammering. She said it again, the three potent words I cannot bear. And touching. No. 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 She can't touch me. But before I can respond, before the darkness takes hold, she unfastens her seatbelt and crawls across the seat and into my lap, ambushing me. She places her hands on either side of my head, staring into my eyes, and I stop breathing.
I love you, Christian Grey,
she says.
And you're prepared to do all this for me. I'm the one who is undeserving, and I'm just sorry that I can't do all those things for you. Maybe with time? I don't know. But yes, I accept your proposition. Where do I sign?
She curls her arms around my neck and hugs me, her warm cheek against mine. I can't believe what I'm hearing. Anxiety turns to joy. It expands in my chest, lighting me up from head to toe, spreading warmth in its wake. She's going to try. I get her back. I don't deserve her, but I get her back. I wrap my arms around her and hold her tightly, burying my nose in her fragrant hair, as relief and a kaleidoscope of colorful emotions fill the void that I've carried inside me since she left. Oh, Anna, I whisper, and I hold her, too dazed and too replete to say anything else. She snuggles into my arms, her head on my shoulder, and we listen to the Rachmaninoff. I go over her words. She loves me. I test the phrase in my head and what's left of my heart and swallow the knot of fear that forms in my throat as those words ring through me. I can do this. I can live with this. I must. I need to protect her and her vulnerable heart. I take a deep breath. I can do this. Except the touching. I can't do that. I have to make her understand. Manage her expectations. Gently, I stroke her back. Touching is a hard limit for me, Anastasia.
I know. I wish I understood why.
Her breath tickles my neck. Shall I tell her? Why would she want to know this shit? My shit. Maybe I can hint at it, give her a clue. I had a horrific childhood. One of the crack whore's pimps. There you are, you little shit.
No, 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 not the burn. Mommy? Mommy?
She can't hear you, you fucking maggot.
He grabs my hair and pulls me out from under the kitchen table. Ow, ow, ow. He's smoking. The smell. Cigarettes. It's a dirty smell, like old and nasty. He's dirty, like trash, like drains. He drinks brown liquor from a bottle.
And even if she could, she doesn't give a fuck.
He shouts. He always shouts. His hand hits me across my face, and again and again. No. No. I fight him, but he laughs and takes a puff. The end of the cigarette shines bright red and orange.
The burn,
he says. No, no. The pain, the smell. Burn. Pain. No. I howl. Howl. Mommy! He laughs and laughs. He has two teeth gone.
I shudder as my memories and nightmares float together like smoke from his discarded cigarette, fogging my brain, dragging me back to a time of fear and impotence. I tell Anna I remember it all, and she tightens her hold on me, her cheek on my neck, her soft, warm skin against mine, bringing me back to the now.
Was she abusive, your mother?
Anna's voice is hoarse. Not that I remember. She was neglectful. She didn't protect me from her pimp. She was a sad excuse and he was a sick fuck. I think it was me who looked after her. When she finally killed herself, it took 4 days for someone to raise the alarm and find us. I remember that. I close my eyes and see vague, muted images of my mother slumped on the floor, me covering her with my blanket and curling up beside her. Anastasia gasps.
That's pretty fucked up.
50 Shades. She kisses my neck, a soft, tender press of her lips onto my skin. And I know it's not pity she's offering. It's comfort. Maybe even understanding. My sweet, compassionate Anna. I tighten my hold on her and kiss her hair as she nestles in my arms. Baby, it was a long time ago. My exhaustion catches up with me. Several sleepless nights plagued with nightmares have taken their toll. I'm tired. I want to stop thinking. She's my dream catcher. I never had nightmares when she was sleeping at my side. Leaning back, I close my eyes, saying nothing, because I have nothing more to say. I listen to the music, and when it's finished, to her soft, even breathing. She's asleep. She's weary, like me. I realize I can't spend the night with her. She'll get no sleep if I do. I hold her, enjoying her weight on me, honored that she can sleep on me. I can't help my self-satisfied grin. I've done it. I've won her back. Now all I have to do is keep her, which will be challenging enough. My first vanilla relationship. Who would have thought? Closing my eyes, I imagine the look on Elena's face when I tell her. She'll have plenty to say. She always has.
I can tell by the way you're standing that you have something to tell me.
I dare a quick peek at Elena as her scarlet lips curl into a smile, and she crosses her arms, flogger in hand. Yes, ma'am.
You may speak.
I have a place at Harvard. Her eyes flash. Ma'am, I add quickly, and stare down at my toes.
I see.
She walks around me as I stand naked in her basement. The chill spring air caresses my skin, but it's the anticipation of what's to come that makes each of my hair follicles stand on end. That and the smell of her expensive perfume. My body begins to respond. She laughs. Control, she snaps, and the flogger bites across my thighs. And I try, really try, to bring my body to heal.
Though perhaps you should be rewarded for good behavior,
she purrs. And she hits me again, across my chest this time, but soft, more playful.
It's quite the achievement to get into Harvard, my dear, dear pet.
The flogger flies again, stinging my ass, and my legs quiver in response.
Hold still,
she warns. And I stand straight, waiting for the next blow.
So you'll leave me?
She whispers, and the flogger strikes my back. My eyes spring open and I glance at her in alarm. No, never.
Eyes down,
she commands, and I stare at my feet as panic overwhelms me.
You'll leave me and find some young college girl.
No, no. She grabs my face, her nails biting into my skin.
You will.
Her ice blue eyes burn into mine, scarlet lips twisted in a snarl. Never, ma'am. She laughs and pushes me away and raises her hand, but the blow never comes. When I open my eyes, Anna stands before me. She caresses my cheek and smiles.
I love you,
she says. I wake, momentarily disoriented, my heart thudding like a klaxon, and I don't know if it's fear or excitement. I'm in the back of the Q7, and Anna is curled up asleep in my lap. Anna. She's mine once more. And for a moment, I feel giddy. A stupid grin splits my face, and I shake my head. Have I ever felt like this? I'm excited for the future. I'm excited to see where our relationship will go, what new things we'll try. There are so many possibilities. I kiss her hair and rest my chin on her head. When I glance out of the window, I notice that we've reached Seattle. Taylor's eyes meet mine in the rearview mirror.
Are we heading to Escala, sir?
No, Miss Steele's. The corners of his eyes crinkle.
We'll be there in 5 minutes,
he says. Whoa, we're nearly home.
Thank you, Taylor.
I slept longer than I thought possible in the back of a car. I wonder what time it is, but I don't want to move my arm to check my watch as I'm holding her. I gaze down at my sleeping beauty. Her lips are gently parted, her dark lashes fanned out, shadowing her face. And I remember watching her sleep at the Heathman that first time. She looked so peaceful then. She looks peaceful now. I'm reluctant to disturb her. Wake up, baby. I kiss her hair. Her eyelashes flutter, and she opens her eyes. Hey, I murmur in greeting.
Sorry,
she mumbles as she sits up. I could watch you sleep forever, Anna. No need to apologize.
Did I say anything?
She looks worried. No, I reassure her. We're nearly at your place.
We're not going to yours?
She sounds surprised. No. She sits up straight and glares at me.
Why not?
Because you have work tomorrow?
Oh.
Her pout says all I need to know about her disappointment. I want to laugh out loud. Why, did you have something in mind? I tease her. She squirms in my lap. Ow. I still her with my hands.
Well, maybe,
she says, looking anywhere but at me and sounding a little shy. I can't help my laugh. She's courageous in so many ways and yet still so coy in others. And as I watch her, I realize that I've got to get her to open up about sex. If we're going to be honest with each other, she has to tell me how she feels. Tell me what she needs. I want her to be confident enough to express her desires. All of them. Anastasia, I am not going to touch you again. Not until you beg me to.
What?
She sounds a little upset. So that you'll start communicating with me. Next time we make love, you're going to have to tell me exactly what you want in fine detail.
That will give you something to think about, Miss Steele.
I lift her off my lap when Taylor pulls up at the curb beside her apartment. I climb out of the car, walk to her door, and open it for her. She looks sleepy and adorable as she struggles out of the car. I have something for you. This is it. Will she accept my gift? This is the final stage of my campaign to win her back. Opening the trunk, I grab the gift box that contains her Mac, her phone, and an iPad. She looks from the box to me with suspicion. Open it when you get inside.
You're not coming in?
No, Anastasia. As much as I'd like to, we both need to sleep.
So when will I see you?
Tomorrow?
My boss wants me to go for a drink with him tomorrow.
What the hell does that fucker want? I must chase Welch for his report on Hyde. There's something off about him that isn't reflected in his employee records. I don't trust him one bit.
Does he now?
I try to sound nonchalant.
To celebrate my first week,
she says quickly. Where?
I don't know.
I could pick you up from there.
Okay, I'll email or text you.
Good. We walk to the lobby door together and I watch, amused, as she rummages around in her purse for her keys. She unlocks the door and turns to say goodbye, and I can't resist her any longer. Leaning down, I cup her chin in my fingers. I want to kiss her hard, but I hold back and trace soft kisses from her temple to her mouth. She moans, and the sweet sound travels straight to my cock. Until tomorrow, I say, failing to keep the desire out of my voice.
Good night, Christian,
she whispers, and her longing echoes my own. Oh, baby, tomorrow, not now. In you go, I order, and it's one of the hardest things I've ever done, letting her leave knowing that she's mine for the taking. My body ignores my noble gesture and stiffens in anticipation. I shake my head, amazed as ever by my lust for Anna. Laters, baby. I call after her, and turning toward the street, I head to the car, determined not to look back. Once I'm inside the car, I allow myself to look. She's still there, standing on the doorstep, watching me. Good. Go to bed, Anna. I will her. As if she hears me, she closes the door, and Taylor starts the car to head home to Escala. I lean back in my seat. What a difference a day makes. I grin. She's mine, once more. I imagine her in her apartment, opening the box. Will she be pissed, or will she be delighted? She'll be pissed. She never took kindly to gifts. Shit, was it a step too far? Taylor heads into the garage at Escala and we pull into the vacant parking space next to Anna's A3. Taylor, will you deliver Miss Steele's Audi to her place tomorrow? I hope she will accept the car, too. Yes, Mr. Gray. I leave him in the garage, doing whatever he does, and head for the elevator. Once inside, I check my phone to see if she has anything to say about the gifts. Just as the elevator doors open and I step into my apartment, there's an email. From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray. June 9th, 2011, 11:56 p.m. iPad.
You've made me cry again. I love the iPad. I love the songs. I love the British Library app. I love you. Thank you. Good night. Anna. Kiss, kiss.
I grin at the screen. Happy tears. Great. She loves it. She loves me. Friday, June 10th, 2011. She loves me. It's taken a 3-hour car ride for me not to flinch at this thought. But then again, she doesn't really know me. She doesn't know what I'm capable of or why I do what I do. No one can love a monster, no matter how compassionate they are. I put the thought out of my mind because I don't want to dwell on the negative. Flynn would be proud. Quickly, I type a response to her email. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 10th, 2011, 12:03 a.m. iPad. I'm glad you like it. I bought one for myself. Now, if I were there, I would kiss away your tears. But I'm not. So go to sleep. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. I want her well rested for tomorrow. I stretch, feeling a contentment that's entirely unfamiliar, and wander into my bedroom. Looking forward to collapsing into bed, I put my phone on the nightstand and notice there's another email from her. From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray. June 10th, 2011, 12:07 a.m. Mr. Grumpy.
You sound your usual bossy and possibly tense, possibly grumpy self, Mr. Gray. I know something that could ease that, but then you're not here. You wouldn't let me stay, and you expect me to beg. Dream on, sir. Anna, kiss kiss. P.S. I also note that you included the stalker's anthem, Every Breath You Take. I do enjoy your sense of humor, but does Dr. Flynn know?
And there it is, the Anastasia Steele wit. I have missed it. I sit down on the edge of the bed and compose my reply. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 10th, 2011, 12:10 a.m. Zen-like calm. My dearest Miss Steele, spanking occurs in vanilla relationships too, you know, usually consensually and in a sexual context, but I am more than happy to make an exception. You'll be relieved to know that Dr. Flynn also enjoys my sense of humor. Now please go to sleep, as you won't get much tomorrow. Incidentally, you will beg. Trust me, and I look forward to it. Christian Gray, tense CEO. I watch my phone, waiting for her reply. I know that she won't let this go, and sure enough, her response appears. From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray. June 10th, 2011, 12:12 a.m. Good night, sweet dreams.
Well, since you ask so nicely, and I like your delicious threat, I shall curl up with the iPad that you have so kindly given me and fall asleep browsing in the British Library, listening to the music that says it for you. A. Kiss, kiss, kiss.
She likes my threat. Lord, she's confusing. Then I remember her squirming in the car while we talked of spanking. Oh, baby, it's not a threat. It's a promise. I get up and wander into my closet to take off my jacket while I think of something to say. She wants a softer approach. Surely I can think of something. And then it comes to me. From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 10th, 2011, 12:15 a.m. One more request. Dream of me. Kiss. Christian Gray, CEO. Yes, dream of me. I want to be the only one in her head. Not that photographer, not her boss, just me. I change quickly into PJ bottoms and brush my teeth. As I slip into bed, I check my phone once more, but there's nothing from Miss Steele. She must be asleep. When I close my eyes, it occurs to me that I've not thought about Leela all evening. Anastasia has been so diverting, beautiful, funny. The radio alarm wakes me for the first time since she left me. I've slept a soundless and dreamless sleep, and I awake refreshed. My first thought is of Anna. How is she this morning? Has she changed her mind? No, stay positive. Okay. I wonder what her morning routine is. Better. And I get to see her this evening. I bound out of bed and into my sweats. My run will take me on my usual route to check on her building, but this time I won't linger. I'm a stalker no more. My feet pound the pavement. The sun is peeping through the buildings as I make my way to Anna Street. It's still quiet, but I have the Foo Fighters turned up loud and proud as I run. I wonder if I should be listening to something that's more in sync with my mood. Maybe Feeling Good, Nina Simone's version. Too sappy, Gray. Keep running. I dash past Anna's building, and I don't have to stop. I'll see her later today. All of her. Feeling particularly pleased with myself, I wonder if perhaps we'll end up here tonight. Whatever we do, it will be up to Anna. We're doing this her way. I run up Wall Street, back home to begin my day. Good morning, Gale. Even to my own ears, I sound unusually hearty. Gale stops in her tracks in front of the stove and stares at me as if I've grown three heads. I'll have scrambled eggs and toast this morning, I add, and wink at her as I head toward my study. Her chin drops, but she says nothing. Ah, speechless Mrs. Jones. This is novel. In my study, I check emails on my computer, and there's nothing that can't wait until I get into the office. My thoughts stray to Anna, and I wonder if she's had breakfast. From Christian Grey to Anastasia Steele, June 10th, 2011, 8:05 a.m. So help me. I do hope you've had breakfast. I missed you last night. Christian Grey, CEO. In the car on the way to the office, I get a response. From Anastasia Steele to Christian Grey, June 10th, 2011, 8:33 a.m. Old books.
I am eating a banana as I type. I have not had breakfast for several days, so it is a step forward. I love the British Library app. I started rereading Robinson Crusoe. And, of course, I love you. Now leave me alone. I am trying to work. Anastasia Steele, assistant to Jack Hyde, editor, SIP.
Robinson Crusoe? A man alone, stranded on a deserted island. Is she trying to tell me something? And she loves me. Loves me. And I'm surprised that those words are getting easier to hear. But not that easy. So I shift my focus to what irritates me most about her email. From Christian Grey to Anastasia Steele, June 10th, 2011, 8:36 a.m. Is that all you've eaten? You can do better than that. You're going to need your energy for begging. Christian Grey, CEO. Taylor pulls up at the curb in front of Grey House.
Sir, I'll take the Audi to Miss Steele's this morning.
Great. Until later, Taylor. Thank you.
Good day, sir.
In the elevator at Grey House, I read her response.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Grey, June 10th, 2011, 8:39 a.m. Pest.
Mr. Grey, I'm trying to work for a living, and it's you who will be begging. Anastasia Steele, assistant.
Ha, I don't think so. Good morning, Andrea. I give her a friendly nod as I stride past her desk. She stalls, but recovers quickly, because she's ever the adept PA.
Good morning, Mr. Grey. Coffee?
Please, black. I close my office door, and when seated at my desk, respond to Anna.
From Christian Grey to Anastasia Steele, June 10th, 2011, 8:42 a.m. Bring it on.
Why, Miss Steele, I love a challenge. Christian Grey, CEO. I love that she's so feisty over email. Life is never boring with Anna. I lean back in my chair with my hands behind my head, trying to understand my effervescent mood. When have I ever felt this cheerful? It's frightening. She has the power to give me hope and the power to make me despair. I know which I prefer. There's a blank space on my office wall. Perhaps one of her portraits should fill the void. Before I can brood on this further, there's a knock on the door. Andrea enters, carrying my coffee.
Mr. Grey, may I have a word?
Of course. She perches on the chair opposite me, looking nervous.
Do you remember I'm not here this afternoon and I'm not in on Monday?
I stare at her, completely blank. What the hell? I don't remember this. I hate it when she's not here.
I thought I should remind you,
she adds. Do you have someone covering for you?
Yes, HR is sending someone from another department. Her name is Montana Brooks.
Okay.
It's only a day and a half, sir.
I laugh. Do I look that worried? Andrea gives me a rare smile.
Yes, Mr. Grey, you do.
Well, whatever you're up to, I hope it's fun. She stands.
Thank you, sir.
Do I have anything scheduled for this weekend?
You have golf tomorrow with Mr. Bastille.
Cancel it. I'd rather have fun with Anna.
Will do. You also have the masquerade ball at your parents' place for coping together.
Andrea reminds me. Oh, damn.
It's been in the schedule for months.
Yes, I know. Leave that. I wonder if Anna will come as my date.
Okay, sir.
Did you find someone to replace Senator Blandino's daughter?
Yes, sir. Her name is Sarah Hunter. She starts on Tuesday when I'm back.
Good.
You have a 9 o'clock with Miss Bailey.
Thanks, Andrea. Get me Welch on the line.
Yes, Mr. Gray.
Roz is concluding her report on the Darfur airdrop.
Everything has gone as scheduled, and early reports from the NGOs on the ground are that it's come at the right time and to the right place,
Roz says.
Frankly, it's been a huge success. We're going to help so many people.
Great. Perhaps we should do it every year where it's needed.
It's expensive, Christian.
I know, but it's the right thing to do. And it's only money. She gives me a slightly exasperated look. Are we done? I ask.
For now, yes.
Good. She continues to regard me with curiosity. What?
I'm glad you're back with us,
she says. What do you mean?
You know what I mean.
She gets up and gathers her papers.
You've been absent, Christian.
Her eyes narrow. I was here.
No, you weren't. But I'm glad you're back and focused, and you seem happier.
She gives me a broad smile and heads for the door. Is it that obvious?
I saw the photo in the paper this morning.
Photo?
Yes, you and a young woman at a photo exhibition.
Oh, yes. I can't hide my smile. Roz nods.
I'll see you later this afternoon for the meeting with Marco.
Sure. She leaves, and I'm left wondering how the rest of my staff will react to me today. Barney, my tech wizard and senior engineer, has produced 3 prototypes of the solar tablet. It's a product I hope will sell at a premium globally and also underwrite philanthropically in the developing world. Democratizing technology is one of my passions, making it cheap, functional, and available in the poorest nations to help bring these countries out of poverty. Later that morning, we're gathered in the lab discussing the prototypes that are scattered over the workbench. Fred, the VP of our telecom division, is making a pitch to incorporate the solar cells into the rear casing of each device. Why can't we incorporate them into the entire casing of the tablet, even into the screen? I ask. 7 heads turn my way in unison. Not the screen, but a cover, maybe, says Fred.
Expense?
Barney pipes up at the same time. This is blue sky, people. Don't concern yourselves with the economics, I answer. We'll sell it as a premium brand here and practically give it away in the third world. That's the point. The room erupts in creativity, and 2 hours later we have 3 ideas about how to cover the device in solar cells. Of course, we'll make it WiMAX-enabled for the home market, Fred states.
And incorporate the capability for satellite internet access for Africa and India,
Barney adds.
Provided we can get access.
He looks quizzically toward me. That's a little down the line. I'm hoping we can piggyback on the EU GPS system Galileo. I know this will take a while to negotiate, but we have time. Marco's team is looking into it.
Tomorrow's technology today,
Barney states proudly. Excellent. I nod in approval. I turn to my VP of procurement. Vanessa, where are we with the conflict mineral issue? How are you dealing with it? Later, we're sitting around the table in my boardroom, and Marco is running through the modified business plan for SIP and their contract stipulations following the signing of our revised heads of agreement yesterday. They want to embargo the acquisition news for a month, he says, Something about not freaking out their authors. Really? Will their authors care? I ask.
This is a creative industry,
Roz says gently. Whatever. And I want to roll my eyes.
You and I have a call scheduled with Jeremy Roach, the owner, at 4:30 today.
Good. We can hash out remaining details then. My mind drifts to Anastasia. How is her day going? Has she rolled her eyes at anyone today? What are her work colleagues like, her boss? I've asked Welch to investigate Jack Hyde. Just reading Hyde's employee file, I know there's something odd about his career trajectory. He started in New York, and now he's here. Something doesn't add up. I need to know more about him, especially if Anna is working for him. I'm also waiting for an update on Leela. Welch has nothing new to report on her whereabouts. It's like she's disappeared completely. I can only hope that wherever she is, she's in a better place.
Their email monitoring is almost as stringent as ours,
Roz says, interrupting my reverie. So? I ask. Any company worth its equity has a rigorous email policy.
It surprises me for such a small operation. All emails are checked by the HR function.
I shrug. I don't have an issue with that. Though I should warn Anna. Let's go through their liabilities. Once we've dealt with SIP, we move to the next item on the agenda. We're going to make a tentative inquiry about the shipyard in Taiwan, Marco says.
I don't see what we've got to lose,
Roz agrees. My shirt and the goodwill of our workforce?
Christian, we don't have to do it,
Roz says with a sigh. It makes financial sense. You know it. I know it. Let's see how far we can run with this. My phone flashes, announcing an email from Anna. At last. I've been so busy I haven't managed to contact her since this morning, but she's been hovering at the edge of my consciousness all day, like a guardian angel. My guardian angel. Ever present but not intrusive. Mine. Gray, get a grip. As Roz lists next steps for the Taiwan project, I read Anna's email.
From Anastasia Steele to Christian Gray. June 10th, 2011, 4:05 p.m. Bored.
Twiddling my thumbs. How are you? What are you doing? Anastasia Steele, assistant.
Twiddling her thumbs. The thought makes me smile as I recall her fumbling with the tape recorder when she came to interview me.
Are you gay, Mr. Gray?
Sweet, innocent Anna. No, not gay. I love that she's thinking about me and has taken time out of her day to make contact. It's distracting. An unfamiliar warmth seeps into my bones. It makes me uneasy, really uneasy. Ignoring it, I quickly type a response.
From Christian Gray to Anastasia Steele. June 10th, 2011, 4:15 p.m., your thumbs.
You should have come to work for me. You wouldn't be twiddling your thumbs. I am sure I could put them to better use. In fact, I can think of a number of options. Fuck, not now, Gray. My eyes meet Roz's and I sense her disapproval. Urgent response required, I tell her. She shares a look with Marco. I am doing the usual humdrum mergers and acquisitions. It's all very dry. Your emails at SIP are monitored. Christian Gray, distracted CEO. I can't wait to see her this evening, and she's yet to email where we'll meet. It's frustrating, but we've agreed to try our relationship her way. So I put my phone down and turn my attention back to my meeting. Patience, Gray. Patience. We've moved on to discuss the mayor of Seattle's visit to Gray House next week, an appointment I set up when I met him earlier this month.
Is Sam on this?
Roz asks. Like a rash, I respond.
Sam never misses a PR opportunity.
Okay, if you're ready, I'll get Jeremy Roach on the line from SIP to go through those final details.
Let's do it. Back in my out.